I've heard it said, you steer where you stare. We are bombarded daily with voices vying for our attention. And if we fill our days and minds with Netflix and social media feeds, we can get off track pretty quick. That's why I developed a 30-day music challenge. Listen to Christian music exclusively for 30 days. The challenge is free, and I'll be right there with you every step of the way. Head over to michellenezat.com/30-day-challenge to sign up. Change your music, change your life. You're listening to More Than a Song, episode 425. Hello, and welcome to this episode of More Than a Song. My name is Michelle Nezat, and this is the podcast dedicated to helping you discover the truth of Scripture hidden in today's popular Christian music. My goal is to teach you to connect portions of God's Word with the songs you're singing along with on the radio, to help you meditate on truths that will transform your way of thinking and ultimately your life. I am working on writing my first book, and whenever anyone asks how it's going, I say the same thing. It is a hard and holy process. Now, my idea is to kind of take a beat from some of my favorite business books that tell a fictional story to illustrate truths that they unpack in a second part of the book written from a nonfiction perspective. And the problem has been that I'm pretty much a nonfiction writer and teacher, and so I'm slowly learning how to make the first part of the book a well-written story. I've been learning from everywhere, books and YouTube and online training and critique groups. And one tip was to create a playlist for your main character, either music that he or she would listen to or music that reflects their main struggle. Now, that tip resonated with me for obvious reasons. And I say all of that to say that today's song could be on the playlist of a prophet that we're going to study this week. I'm not sure Brandon Heath had Habakkuk on his mind when he sings See Me Through It, but I'm pretty sure after this week, you will. Are you ready to jump into scripture? Me too. But first, let's listen. I know you're gonna see me through it. If anybody can do it. God, I know in the trial, in the pain, fire, in the rain, you're gonna see me through it. You're gonna see me through it. If anybody can do it. And whenever my heart runs away, you say the day you're gonna see me through it. So why Habakkuk, you might ask? Well, primarily because, just like our song, he's not really sure how everything is going to turn out. He's pretty sure it's going to get much worse before it gets better, but he trusts God anyway. Or in the words of the Bible Project, Habakkuk offers hope by recognizing how dark and chaotic the world is and inviting us to trust that God will one day remove evil forever. But there's another reason I chose Habakkuk. And the thing about our song is that it is a conclusion that sometimes takes a bit of work to come to. Knowing that God will see us through something doesn't mean that we don't have questions and that we don't question his timing or his tactics. And we are invited into the conversation between Habakkuk and God as Habakkuk is really keeping it raw and real, asking the hard questions that sometimes we don't feel comfortable asking and getting the answers that sometimes we don't want to get. But like our song, we're invited to live by faith that God will act. And we can sing it like Habakkuk begins his prayer in chapter 3, asking God to act now in our circumstances, right? So we can say, God, see me through right now. But I also pray that you will sing it like Habakkuk ends his prayer in chapter 3, which is, despite the tragedy and chaos of our current circumstances, that we can praise and trust God's eternal plans to come to pass. So before we dive into the text itself, I want to remind you that Habakkuk is a real person. In fact, that's a BITE, a Bible Interaction Tool Exercise. I call them BITEs for short. That's a BITE that I use regularly. We need to remember that the people described in the Bible were real. So I did some academic reading about prophets this week that sought to, the author sought to remind us that all of the prophets were real people. And so I'm going to pass on several ideas that I gleaned from Abraham Joshua Heschel's book, The Prophets. Now, Heschel is a Jewish theologian, and while he actually never makes the links that we're going to make to the teachings of the New Testament and to our Messiah, His insights into the prophets are wonderful and really worth sharing here. And I'm going to link to the resource in the show notes, but I want to give you this warning. Don't snatch it up unless you're prepared for an academic read. Some of you might be ready for that. And so it's really, really good, but it's not very easy to read. So Heschel reminds us that the prophet is a person, not a microphone. And even as I read that statement in his book, I thought, man, I think I've always read the prophets as a microphone. And isn't that interesting? Because one of my bites is to remember that the characters or the people talked about in the Bible were real. And I guess because I never, it wasn't really a story about Habakkuk, but it really kind of is. I mean, it's a conversation between Habakkuk and God. So this one idea, this idea that the prophet is a person, not a microphone, truly changed the way I read Habakkuk this week. And as with all the other human authors of scripture, the prophets did not check their personalities, their writing styles, or their history at the door when they became a mediator between God and his people. As Heschel says, the prophet's task is to convey a divine view, yet as a person, he is a point of view. And so he speaks from the perspective of God as perceived from the perspective of his own situation. And of course, God knows this as he chose the prophets that he chose to speak through to his people. And so I don't think that it's something that God intends for us to divorce there as well. So when Habakkuk basically asks God, what are you thinking? He is a person as real as you and me with the same questions. And just think, God included this interaction in his holy word because it is a perfectly natural question to wrestle with. You know, are you asking any how long or why questions? Because Habakkuk had a few of his own. Just listen to this. It starts out in chapter 1, verse 2. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? This is Habakkuk talking to God. He's saying, violence is everywhere. I cry, but you do not come to save. Must I forever see these evil deeds? Why must I watch all this misery? Wherever I look, I see destruction and violence. I am surrounded by people who love to argue and fight. The law has become paralyzed, and there is no justice in the courts. The wicked far outnumber the righteous, so that justice has become perverted. I watch the news. I have some of these same questions. And Heschel points out something that really steps on my toes when he says, the things that horrified the prophets are even now daily occurrences all over the world. And that's not the part that stepped on my toes, but this is, to us, injustice is injurious to the welfare of the people. To the prophets, it is a death blow to existence. To us, an episode. To them, catastrophic. A threat to the world. And what this says to me is that I am not sensitive enough to the evil in the world around me. It has become so commonplace that the prophet, and thus God himself, seems a little hyperbolic at times, meaning he speaks in exaggerations but doesn't really mean it. And I want to burn with this intensity. I see reflected in God's words and the prophet's point of view as well. So something that where I think they're taking it to the extreme, I think is exactly where God wants us to be. We don't take it to the extreme enough in our own viewpoints and in our perspective. You see it when you get the nerve to read the prophets, don't you? The language is as Heschel describes. He says it's luminous and explosive, firm and contingent, harsh and compassionate, a fusion of contradictions. His images, meaning the prophets, must not shine, they must burn. And that is why I call you to read Habakkuk and then use this song as a song like on his playlist. Because as Heschel writes, while others are intoxicated with the here and now, the prophet has a vision of the end. And not only does Habakkuk have a vision of the end, but God himself gave it to him. And it is a lasting vision for all generations to include us. I had a new subscriber respond to my welcome email this week. And in my welcome email, I ask, what is your most significant barrier to spending time in God's word? And I ask this because I want to help you break down those barriers. And I believe that it is in the text of God's holy word that we discover and uncover and get to know our Creator and His plan for our lives. And so I ask the question to you, can you relate to this new email subscriber when she says, I would like a big chunk of time to dive into scripture. And because I often don't have a big chunk of time, I don't do anything at all. Now, I'm not sure if you can relate, but I really can. I can relate specifically to that time scenario, but in other scenarios of my life as well. Like for me, it's diet and food. Like if I can't make large sweeping changes with almost instantaneous results, then I don't make the small changes that could make a difference over time. And we all know it's the small changes over time that can direct the course of our lives. I read this scenario recently in Atomic Habits by James Clear. It's an excellent book. He's not a Christian, but his discussion on habits I really enjoyed. But he said, he talked about imagining a plane taking off from Los Angeles and directed to New York. And if the pilot decided to adjust the course by 3.5 degrees to the south previous to departure, the plane would move just a few centimeters and no one would probably notice. But throughout the journey, the impact of that small change would be tremendous, to the point that the plane would land in Washington, D.C. instead of New York. And so, like I said, this is not a Christian book, but the principle is still true. Just a few centimeters over a long distance can take you to a completely different destination. And so that's what I'm going to suggest for you this week as you interact with the words of the prophet Habakkuk. We're going to adjust our day by about 10 minutes a day or less. And over the course of a week, you will have engaged with an entire book of the Bible, albeit a short one. I really believe it will have different results for you if you'll just take those small steps. So to do this, one day, I want you to listen to an audio version of the book of Habakkuk. It is three chapters, and when I listened to it in the YouVersion Bible app on my phone in the New Living Translation, it took less than 10 minutes. And this is a bite, by the way, a Bible interaction tool exercise to listen to an audio version of the text. And if you listen to the entire book all at once in those less than 10 minutes, then you're also taking the bite of reading in context, meaning you're not going to be taking the end of Habakkuk out of context of the beginning and middle of Habakkuk. Now, on day two, here's what I want you to do. I want you to listen to it again, just another 10 minutes. Maybe try to listen sitting still this time. You know, I know I often take in audio content while I'm doing something else, like folding clothes or doing dishes or driving. So this, but if you can try, if you can't, then just do it while doing something else, because that's the goal is to listen to it. This, by the way, utilizes the bite of repetition. And then on day three, I want you to listen to it again. Again, taking the bite of repetition, only this time, listen to it in a different translation. Now, studying in various translations is another bite. I like to study and listen to the English Standard Version when I want a word-for-word translation. I like the New Living Translation for a readable, thought-for-thought translation. The New International Version will kind of fall in between these two, leaning a little bit more towards the thought-for-thought, but it's not quite as far to the extreme as the New Living Translation. Now, I recommend listening at least once in the version that your pastor uses when he teaches and preaches on Sunday morning. That way, that'll be the one that you'll be familiar with as well. I would not recommend listening in the King James Version. It is an older form of English that we no longer speak in today. So sometimes it makes it a little hard to understand and is a little bit confusing. I don't recommend the Passion Translation or the Message Version. These are not true translations. You can use them as commentaries. I would put them in the category of commentaries. It includes the opinions of man, but they are not trying to be true to the actual Hebrew, Greek, and all of that. They're really interpreting in these translations. I wish they wouldn't even call them translations. In these versions. Okay. So you might be asking at this point, why do we have so many translations? Well, we can't read Hebrew, right? I can't. And so what happens is teams of scholars gather to translate the Hebrew words of the oldest versions of the text that we have access to into English trying to make the maintain the meaning of the original author, and giving us the words that God inspired. There are different philosophies for the teams that translate using thought for thought and those with a word for word for philosophy. We don't have time to get into that today, but suffice it to say that if you use the bite of studying in various translations, you will get a fuller sense of what the text is saying, because different scholars will oftentimes use different words, and sometimes that'll just help you understand better. All right, so that's day three. Day four takes less than 10 minutes. If you will watch the Bible Project video overview of the book of Habakkuk, it's, I think, around 6 minutes, to be honest. I'm going to link to it in the show notes. This will give you a highlighted overview of the book and give you some context, both historical and biblical, to connect Habakkuk with his time and with ours. Now, you might be asking, why would I advise you to watch the overview after reading or listening to the text for 3 days? Well, because now you know what the book actually says for yourself. Now, you may have some questions lingering that the overview might help you resolve at this point. Perhaps it will confirm what you already discovered for yourself. How about that? So, scripture itself is more important than what other people say about it. And God has given us great minds to help us understand things, and he's given us his Holy Spirit to help reveal and help us understand. But we're not very good at sitting in the tension of the unknown. And I want you to become more, I'm not going to say comfortable with sitting in the tension of the unknown, because that's the whole point, is tension is uncomfortable. But I want you to be more familiar with sitting in the tension of the unknown. Don't just focus in on what you don't understand, though. One of the things that I encourage everyone is really soak in the parts that you do understand. Don't ignore the parts you don't understand forever. But I think sometimes we get really off track by the parts that we don't understand. All right. So day five then. So that's day four. Day five, take the 10 minutes that you've been using to listen to the text. And instead of listening to it again, or maybe if you want to take a little bit more, listen to it again and jot down some notes. Use the bite of making a list, or the bite of asking questions of the text, or the bite of making observations, or all three. But write down something as it relates to the text. You know, maybe even take the bite of writing out a prayer inspired by this scripture or a verse or verses in Habakkuk. So that would be on day five, you're going to write something down. So that's how you're going to interact with the text that you've been listening to and studying all week. So at this point, you've been in the text for about 50 minutes. And to carve out an hour in a busy week may seem impossible, but your small steps are already going to be leading to bigger results. At this point, you could probably describe Habakkuk to a friend. Like, you could probably recap all three chapters to a friend because you've listened to it so repetitively over several days. As you're listening at this point, you're anticipating what's coming next because you're gaining familiarity with the text. And dare I say, this small step approach might actually work better for you over time than trying to just find space for marathon Bible study sessions. Then on day six, I challenge you to schedule just a little extra time to interact with the text. And on this day, this might be a day that you set aside to sit at a table and open a physical Bible or even, you know, your laptop or your desktop. And on this day, I want to explore how Habakkuk, as it relates to the rest of the Bible and to Christ. So Paul quotes a phrase from Habakkuk 2:4. It says in Habakkuk 2:4, the righteous shall live by faith. And Paul quotes this in Romans chapter 1, verse 7, and in Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. And then the author of Hebrews says it too in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 37. And so those are all areas that then you could go explore, not only just looking at those specific verses, but looking at those verses in context and see that this idea that came from Habakkuk is being repeated here in these new contexts. And then you can see themes revealed in Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 2 through 15, reflected in Christ's final victory in Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 21. I'm going to put all of these references in the show notes. So if you go to michellenezat.com/425, you'll be able to see all the references. If you are an email subscriber, which I highly recommend, those are already in your inbox. Those show notes are already in your inbox, and you can just pull up the email and look up those scriptures yourself. And then one last kind of theme that you read in Habakkuk chapter 3, you see in Philippians chapter 4. You know that part where Paul is talking about learning to be content in every circumstance? He's really calling on a theme found in Habakkuk 3. Let me read it as we kind of close up today. Habakkuk 3, verse 17 through 19. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herds in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on high places. So I do want to be careful that we don't just soak in this part, like in this conclusion that Habakkuk comes to, without wrestling through what comes before. This is a conclusion that emerges from some serious questions and accusations in Habakkuk's conversation with God. And I pray that as you interact with the text this week, that you will see God's love for his people, even in the hard places of the text. I think we're so used to injustice that we don't see it as a death blow to our existence and to the ways of God, our Creator. But I pray that we can learn to burn at the things that shakes God to his core. And if he didn't care, he would just wash his hands of us. But he didn't do that. He doubled down by making payment for the tragedy of sin in our lives through his son, through his own personal sacrifice. Now, don't forget that God's view is eternal. And we read this in Habakkuk. It says, for still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him. But the righteous shall live by his faith. And we are a people called to live by faith. And God is a God who will see us through it until his appointed time. So what's next? Well, follow the plan laid out in this episode to interact with the book of Habakkuk this week. You will be amazed how small chunks of time invested in interacting with scripture will add up, not only in an accumulation of time, of course, but in familiarity with the scripture itself. And as you read or listen to the interaction between Habakkuk and God, remember that Habakkuk was a real person, not a microphone. And while you're in God's Word this week, let me know how you're doing. You can email me, michelle@michellenezat.com. You can hop on Twitter or Instagram @michellenezat. My public page is Michelle L. Nezat on Facebook, and we can talk about what you're learning. Now, More Than a Song is a proud member of the NRT Podcast Network, and you can check out other podcasts in the network and Christian music resources at newreleasetoday.com. And then I would be honored if you subscribed to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts so that you never miss an episode. But if you do sign up on my website, as I mentioned, at michellenezat.com, then I am able to email you once a week with the show notes of all the scriptures I use and links to resources that I use in my personal study that I may or may not have mentioned on the episode. And my free resource for email subscribers this week is a one-page PDF of my top 5 bites. You can get started moving beyond merely reading scripture, start interacting with it, and use this tool to help. So head over to michellenezat.com to subscribe today. And then with that in mind, I do want to thank my newest subscribers who've subscribed recently, like Liz from New York and Leslie from Oregon, Christina from Texas, Brenda from Missouri, Carolyn from California, Siobhan from California, and Nicole from Wisconsin. Welcome. Now, don't forget, you can listen to the podcast directly on my website through iTunes or the Apple Podcast app. You can follow on Spotify or through Stitcher Radio or your podcast listening app of choice. And you can leave a review by heading over to lovethepodcast.com/morethanasong. Well, that's it for this episode of More Than a Song. Next week, I will be using I Will Carry You by Ellie Holcomb to dive into scripture. If you liked this episode, would you mind sharing it with others? I've made it really easy. With just one click, you can share via Facebook, Twitter, or email. Just head over to michellenezat.com/425. While you're there, I'd love to hear from you. Click on comment to join the conversation. Until next time, take time to meditate on God's word and consider his ways.